We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, we are heading into the final game of the season. The San Jose Sharks hosting the Edmonton Oilers tonight from SAP Center. I am looking forward to seeing all of you one last time this year. I always hate that we come to a close because even though, yes, it's been a tough year for San Jose, it's always a whole lot of fun, and I hope that everyone else considers it a whole lot of fun as we watch the entirety of the season play out before our very eyes. When the season began, we didn't know what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Yaroslav Askarov and Colin Graf and all these young players were going to turn into, and now we just have that much more of an idea. So it's been an exciting year. Obviously, the retirement of Logan Couture is an unfortunate aspect just because I wanted Logan to play as long as he could, and you want somebody to go out on their own terms. And, you know, an injury is not the way you expect somebody of his caliber to see everything come to a close, but I thought it was a great ceremony yesterday. To watch the team show up for him just was an awesome moment. But we've got a lot to get to today. I brought on my good friend Max Miller of NHL.com to talk about the Sharks season in totality and look ahead to the future. Not going to be able to fit all of this in on today's episode. You will hear more of it tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. But without further delay, we are now joined by Max Miller of NHL.com. Max, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Ted, I'm doing well. It should be fun. We're at game 82 here. It's a good day. The season's been good. Flown by.
It really has. And I think that's a main difference compared to last year. And you were there for all of last year as well. And last year, even though there's only been one more win this year, was just much more of a slog. There were many more blowout wins. There were many more just, I don't know, there wasn't as much hope. You didn't have the young players up. They didn't know they were going to draft Macklin Celebrini. You know, you didn't get Colin Graf till end of the year. It was just a very, very different dynamic. And I guess that even though this year has been a relative roller coaster with all the trades and different storylines, it certainly has been a lot more fun.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, the quote I keep going back to is Randy Hahn always saying, like, this is the most fun last place team you'll ever meet or ever watch, something along those lines, because it's true. I mean, you mentioned the slog of last year. There has been a slog this year, but not for nearly as long. I think we can all agree on that. When it comes to excitement, there's vision, there's a future. And you mentioned Macklin Celebrini and Colin Graf, and then you got Will Smith, and obviously Eklund was here last year, but you've got pieces they're building, you know, Toffoli getting to 30 goals, you know, Macklin getting to 25 goals. Will he win the Calder, or, you know, he's leading rookies in goals right now. There's so much more to kind of put a hand to, if you will, and kind of grip onto something that is exciting, that brings future promise to this organization.
You talk about Tyler Toffoli, and his name has been discussed very much in the last 48 hours since word came down that Logan Couture was announcing his retirement from professional hockey. Do you expect now that Tyler Toffoli will be the next captain of the San Jose Sharks, or Mario Ferraro, or do you think it'll be a young captaincy for Macklin Celebrini, much in the same vein that it was for the man who will be in the building tonight, one Connor McDavid?
Yeah, I wouldn't say expect is the right word. I don't know what we can expect. My guess is what I'll say is Toffoli will be the next captain if they name a captain. I just think contractually, you know, 3 years left after this year, and you look at where Macklin Celebrini is, he's still 18, and he's got a lot more to learn in terms of being a leader in the NHL, being a leader for his room. Not to say that he's not already, but he's got to learn the NHL in terms of as a player, and the key for the entire Sharks' success is to be the top player on the ice. So you don't want to overload him with maybe the captaincy. Is he an option? 100% he's an option, but I just don't think you want to put that on him yet. I could easily see Celebrini getting an A with Toffoli being the captain next season. Ferraro, we know he's been a leader on this team for a very, very long time. The part that scares me with him is all the trade rumors that have gone about him last 2 to 3 seasons, and his contractual status as a pending UFA after next season. Is he going to get traded? Is he going to re-sign? I think it would be tough to name him captain and then have the trade rumors surround him. And if he does get traded, you know, I just think the safer option is the guy with the term, with the no move contract, who has come into this room and commanded it really well.
No, well said. And it's interesting that you know, we have these conversations right now, because I think that if we go back a couple of years, no one expects that Logan Couture's career is ending this way. No one expects that the change in captaincy would be coming the way that it has, in, you know, Logan dealing with this, you know, career ending injury. Just what were your thoughts yesterday before we go more, you know, Sharks talk, looking at the season in totality? But, you know, that press conference yesterday, I thought was interesting, because the, you know, the team was there to watch Logan, and he tried to tell Scott Emery, hey, tell the guys they can leave. And, you know, Scott said, Logan says you can go. And to a man, nobody on the Sharks team moved. They all stayed right there in attendance. And, you know, it was nice to see that sort of respect for a guy who hasn't skated since, you know, last January, February.
Yeah, that moment is something that I noticed as well. And it, you know, in that moment when, you know, they tried to say, you guys can go, you got to deal with the media tomorrow anyway. There was not even like, I looked around. It didn't look like anybody was even looking around, like who might leave, who will leave. Like, there was just no question. Yeah. They were going to stay and support him. And I asked Willie Mecklen about that this morning. And he's, you know, when a guy like that goes down, he is still their captain. They still view him as their captain. And he is somebody that is respected, and that if any of the guys in the room were in the same situation as him, the team would be there for them, and they needed to reciprocate that to him and know that they have his back in what is arguably probably one of the hardest moments of his entire, not just career, but his life, in doing something that he's done since he's three and play hockey, and his body, you know, literally failing on him and letting him down. And, you know, he doesn't get to choose when he got to retire, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But I think it speaks volumes to the closeness in the group, how much of an impact he still had on the group these last two seasons, even with all the moving bodies and moving parts. I think it just speaks to how, you know, how much of an impact he still can or does have on this organization. And it was nice to see that the team, you know, really rally behind him in a tough moment for him.
I know that we talk about the vibes with this team a lot, because they do seem to get along pretty well, but, you know, we talked about how it wasn't as much of a slog this year. And I think that is one of the main differences this year compared to a season ago, is that you just felt like the room was lighter, that there was just a better overall vibe, which is really interesting considering in December you had Mackenzie Blackwood getting traded. Then you had Cody Ceci and Mikhail Granlund getting traded. And there was, you know, eventually all the chaos that happened around the deadline that never really, you know, affected things inside the dressing room, it seemed, whereas you would imagine that could have caused at least, you know, relative tension for the players. Not that it would cause bad blood on the team, but just it would make things, you know, just relatively, you know, the unknown. I think one thing players want is they want certainty. And every time the phone rings, they're wondering if they're getting traded. But, you know, that was not a dynamic at all this year, even though the Sharks were in trade talks, you know, with rumor mongering literally all year long. It started early about Mackenzie Blackwood. So, I mean, what do you think was the difference this year? Is that Ryan Warsofsky? Is that more of the youthful energy in the room? I mean, what was the main difference?
I think you could put a combination of both Ryan Warsofsky and just these guys are young and they don't know any better. Like, for a lot of these guys in the room, they've never felt anything different in terms of a calm, you know, deadline or a deadline in which you're buying or you're kind of just standing pat, like a Columbus Blue Jackets or Calgary Flames this season. Like, these guys, I mean, the veterans, you know, Toffoli's and Goodrow, they understand that and they've been through it. But I think for a lot of these guys, they kind of just don't know any better. And I think you could attribute the bought-in-ness all the way through the end of the season to Ryan Warsofsky. I mean, I still remember those last 2 to 3 games at the end of last season. I mean, it was just phoned in. I mean, they wanted nothing to do with the end of last season. They wanted to get home, be done with it. And I credit Luke Cunning to getting in that little scrap with like a minute and a half left in the last game because somebody hit Georgi Romanov in a meaningless game against the Calgary Flames. And he dropped the gloves and got a 10-minute misconduct with a minute and a half left in the entire season. And I think that kind of set the tone going into next season, because I think, you know, I think some of the players saw that he was going to go all the way to the end. While he was here before he was traded, Luke, you know, he was always a competitor. It's one of the messages that Warsofsky has told the group. I just think, you know, I think it's losing, not to say that last year's team had a losing mentality. I think they understand better this year, at least the group here now, that losing is unacceptable. Not to say that they felt that last year even, but it's mm-hmm. just, I feel like they're harping on it a little bit more. It's more of a demand rather than a, hey, this is the way things go. It's more of a losing is unacceptable demand, if that makes any sense.
Did the development of the young players for Will Smith, for Macklin Celebrini, for Colin Graf, for Shakir Mukhmudulin, for Yaroslav Askarov, for, you know, lesser quantity players of time up here, Cam Lund, you know, I'm trying to think, Ethan Cardwell is another. Did the Sharks do what they did? They maximize their window of youth development this year, in your opinion?
I think to the best of their ability, yes. I think last year we maybe saw it a little bit more because of injuries. But I think, you know, guys like Luca Cagnone getting six games, like that's pretty significant for a guy that signed his ELC this last summer and maybe wasn't expected to play in, you know, he wasn't even certain to be on the AHL team right away. Now he was pretty certain right away once he got into camp that that was going to be the case. But, you know, Colin Graf got over 30 games. Mukhmudulin would have gotten close to 40 if he hadn't gotten hurt. Georgi Romanov got a good run here. Askarov, I think, would have gotten a bigger run if he didn't get hurt. So would I have liked to see a little bit more of the forwards come through? Yes. But when you have Lundberg and Eklund and Toffoli and Celebrini and Smith, it's hard to replace those guys. And you don't want a Daniil Gushin, who's only played a few games this year, or Thomas Bortolo playing on the fourth line, because that's just not the type of player they are. And that's something that that Coach Rosofsky has implemented. I know when Andrew Podorowski came up, they gave him a chance at the center, the 2C position, because he's never had a chance there. So he only got three games, and I know he's not a young guy, but like they did their best to put things in. Would I like to see a couple more young guys come through? Probably, but there's also roster restrictions, and you got to fill the competitive roster, and you need some veterans on it. You can't go full kids unit out there.
When I look at the standings across the NHL today, I see Detroit eliminated again. I see Buffalo eliminated again. I see, you know, Anaheim on the outside looking in. Obviously, Chicago is in a relatively similar situation to San Jose. But, you know, to make sure that the Sharks don't end up specifically like Detroit, and I'm not trying to pick on Detroit, but, you know, they've been out of it for a while now. And I think that that's what the Sharks don't want to get into. We're talking about 6 years right now since 2019. You know, they appear to be taking steps in the right direction. What do you think the Sharks need to do in this coming offseason to make sure that they don't end up like Detroit, or maybe a little bit in that mold of Anaheim where they can't seem to figure out what that next step is? Even though I will credit Anaheim and Detroit, they took steps forward once again. But still maybe not where they wanted to be when all was said and done.
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like Detroit and Anaheim are two different situations. I feel like Anaheim is a little, you could see their path. You could see their guys starting to show up in Leo Carlson and Carter Gauthier. But when it comes to Detroit, I think they just had a tough offseason, you know, giving Wallman up for literally paying to give up Wallman to bring him to the Sharks, the Sharks flipping him for a first rounder. I think in order to kind of avoid that is don't go too veteran heavy. I think there's a clear path here, but you need to revamp the defense if you're the Sharks. However that might be, whether it's the trades, free agency, the draft, young prospects, the last 3 years, the defense as a whole has not been good enough, whether systematically or personnel. And so I think when you look at Detroit, I think they wanted to give young players some opportunities and they slow cooked them. So I think they made some of the moves this offseason, which when you look back, like, yeah, they didn't quite take the playoff step that maybe people expected. But guys like Barco Kaspar and Simon Edvinson really took steps forward for them. So I'd be interested to see Detroit's offseason this next, you know, coming up here because of getting those young players in. And I think just given where the Sharks were in terms of their star players, Dylan Larkin is, you know, he's not his rookie season, and Patrick Kane's not his rookie season. You know, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith are still in the rookie season. Eklund's only still in, this was his second full season in the NHL, which is crazy to me. But when you look at where the Sharks are, they're a little further behind Anaheim in terms of the development of their prospects, but they're not that far behind. I just think you need to revamp some of that defense, and who knows, adding a Schaefer, if they get the first overall pick and if they feel he's NHL ready, could be a boost. Because when you look at Anaheim, right, you've got Jackson McCollum, Olin Zellweger, Pavel Mintikov. Like, they've got pieces there that need to learn the game. The Sharks have Shakir Mukhmudulin, which is great. Henry Thrun, which is great. they're lacking there. And Ferraro, who knows what the future holds with him, and Ruta's a free agent, and you know, Lil Jibrin has been good. He's gonna be a piece at least for a little bit here, it seems. So I think being aggressive in the offseason, but not overpaying for veterans, making sure you keep the opportunities open for these young guys to get significant roles and play in the NHL.
But I guess the bigger issue is for San Jose, and I don't know what they're gonna do with Logan's contract per se, is that they have to spend, you know, 20 to 20, you know, $7 million if Logan goes on LTIR to get themselves just to the cap floor. I mean, one way or another, we should expect to see more talent in San Jose. And then I think you start wondering, is Cam Lund going to get a little bit of the Colin Graf treatment where they start him off at the AHL level and then bring him up later as they get into the year? I mean, what are your expectations for free agency? And then what are your expectations for the team's record next year?
Free agency. I mean, you mentioned Logan Couture's contract. I mean, if they need help getting to the floor, there's $8 million right there. It's something that can be utilized almost as a benefit to them. And if they need to put it on LTIR and be able to go over the cap by $8 million, the breakdown of that logistic stuff, I have a somewhat decent grasp on, but not the, you know, not, I don't, I'm not in the cap room. I'm not part of Cap Friendly or Puck Peter, whatever it is now. So, but they're going to have to spend money. I know I've been on here before and I've mentioned Nikolai Ehlers as somebody that I like. I mean, you could look at Mitch Marner, 27 years old. I mean, they're going to have $40 million in cap space. So they'll be able to offer him the richest deal similar to what they tried to do with John Tavares when he was a free agent a while back. So I think it'll be an aggressive approach, but I don't think they're going to go big game hunting. Like, I don't see an Aaron Ekblad as somebody they signed. Could they? 100% they could, but I don't see that type of player, one, necessarily wanting to sign here for two reasons. One, he's going after cuts with Florida. I don't know if he's willing to wait to get into another situation like that. Two, he's coming from Florida to California. The tax situation can't be ignored in that situation. I mean, he's making a lot more money in Florida than he is in California with the same contract. That's just the tricks of the trade. When it comes to the team record, you know, pushing 30 wins would be great. I say pushing because, you know, while we say this team has improved, they've wins and losses are the league, and they've improved by right now one win with one game remaining. Have they been in closer games? Yes. Have they lost games 10-2 and 10-1 at back-to-back nights? No. But Ryan Rosowski just finished his rookie season, and he's done a great job. Can it translate to wins with a better roster? And I think next season, I don't think it's, you know, make or break for Rosowski, not at all. But I want to see him. It's kind of hard to grasp what they might be because I think the roster is going to go over some pretty significant change. I think we're going to see a lot of new bodies and almost a revamp of some of the either the core pieces or the side pieces that center around Celebrini and Smith and Eklund and them.
Again, that was Max Miller of NHL.com joining us here on The Build Up as we get ready for tonight's game. You'll hear more of that interview tomorrow on Morning Tide. Taking a look at some of the lines for today as Max Miller was reporting. Top line, Toffoli centered by Celebrini with Smith on the right. Wenberg flanked by Eklund and Lund. Delandria, Kovalenko, and Gushin on the third line. Grunstrom, Goodrow, and Gregor on the fourth line. Thrun paired with Liljegren. Carlson paired with Ruta. And Jimmy Schult paired with Vlasic. So yeah, more changes. More just, you know, lineup changes throughout the year we've seen with San Jose. It's been pretty much nonstop. There have been trades, there have been injuries, there have been prospects coming up. There's just been no shortage of talking points throughout the entirety of the season. And I think that everyone should be very excited for what the offseason holds. Obviously, we're going to find out with the draft lottery in a little bit what San Jose is going to be getting in terms of the you know, the number one pick, whether or not they get it. And again, we'll have your coverage right here on the Sharks Audio Network to talk about everything that we've seen from the Sharks throughout the entirety of the offseason, the draft lottery, free agency. We're going to have you covered right here on the Sharks Audio Network. So a big thanks to Max Miller. And again, I'm excited to be with you for one final edition of the Build Up today. And then tomorrow we'll be talking about the final game of the season on Morning Tide. And then we're scheduled to have end of year media availabilities, of which you'll be able to get it all right here on the Sharks Audio Network. So we are just about out of time. Join us 7 o'clock tonight for pregame, 7:30 go time, as the Sharks face Connor McDavid and the Oilers for one final game in the 2025 season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
One pass too many in the offensive zone before that for Celebrini and Toffoli. Here's Tider with it on the right circle. Scored his 30th goal of the season last night. Little drop, Celebrini shoots, score! In his hometown, Mecklen Celebrini wings it off the post and puts the Sharks in front 1-0 with a power play goal at 4:20 on this second period.